In the early morning hours of that day in 2008, large numbers of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents moved in. They carried military-style weapons, and some wore riot gear. Postville businessman Aaron Goldsmith says he was awakened by the sound of helicopters.
All these different buses and all these different people moving into town, we started to find out that there was a raid going on. It was just, you know, mind-blowing. It's like, you know, going to bed in Postville and waking up in the middle of Disneyland. It was like just totally a shocking experience altogether, you know.
Nearly 400 people were arrested, loaded onto buses, and transported to makeshift courtrooms an hour and a half away in Waterloo. Family members who were left behind sought refuge at St. Bridget Catholic Church. Sister Mary McCauley says the small parish quickly became overwhelmed with need.
I say the town was shattered, but it was also strengthened because we received a lot of support from townspeople bringing in food so that we could offer this presence and support, and our own people stayed in the kitchen and cooked breakfast, and they cooked lunch, and they cooked supper, but we received help not just from the town of Postville, but from the whole surrounding area, people giving us support.
In the midst of this upheaval, the chief executive of agri-processors, Shalom Rabashkin, was charged with providing fake identification for the workers. He was later convicted of defrauding banks of millions of dollars. He was sentenced to 27 years in prison. But late last year, President Trump, at the urging of members of Congress of both parties, commuted Rabashkin's sentence, and he was released. Aaron Goldsmith says it was the right thing to do.
When that first-time offender got released after 8 years, for us it was a major joy. But psychologically speaking, for many other people, we thought, well, Jake, he got off. You know, he went from 27 years to 8 years. They were looking at the 27. They weren't really looking at the crimes.
Prior to the raid, Postville had been known for decades for its ethnic diversity, due in part to the many backgrounds represented by the packing plant employees. Anthropology professor Mark Gray heads the new Iowan Center at the University of Northern Iowa. He says he and his colleagues were fascinated by this cultural melting pot.
Was it a house of cards? Maybe in some respects. Sometimes I'm sad about it. Some days I'm kind of angry about it. Some days I'm like, well, we learned a hell of a lot, you know, but before, during, and after the raid. And, you know, still have friends there and colleagues. And when I get a chance to go up there, I still find it one of the most fascinating places that I've ever been.
Both Professor Gray and Sister Mary McCauley believe the Postville raid had a huge impact on the hiring practices of companies across the country. Sister Mary says it started a conversation that needs to be continued.
In 2008, the hardest question asked of me was, do I believe in breaking the law? And that's when I had to say, no, I didn't believe in breaking the law, but I did believe in reviewing a law. So the summons for the 10th anniversary is both a remembrance and honoring a respect for the people that were affected by the raid.
Businessman Aaron Goldsmith says although the raid will always be part of Postville's history, it's only one chapter.
If you compare our town with all the surrounding towns, we have one of the lowest crime rates. And we're actually turning the tide of the brain drain. We're starting to see young people move back into town. And I think that's a tremendously promising statement about the future of our town.
Tomorrow, an interfaith prayer service and a noon rally in a park near the site of the raid will mark the 10th anniversary. I'm Pat Blank, Iowa Public Radio News.